Let's join together by going to Luke chapter 4 as we will continue our study through the book of Luke. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Very simple message today, but Jesus is establishing who he is. And we'll see as he begins his ministry, Jesus begins his ministry here, we'll see that he's going out and he's revealing that he is the Messiah. And he is the Messiah that people have been waiting for, and they are not recognizing him. And all they have to do later on in his ministry, he will say, look back, what I have done. That will tell you who I am. But they're so blinded to that, and they want him to come a certain way, as we know. They were looking for him to come as a king at that point and set up his kingdom. But yet they missed the truth of Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 and so many other places that we see that he would come first to give his life for you and I. Aren't you guys glad that he's done that? I mean, he truly has come and given his life. We could not have anything more. As crazy as this world may get or be, he's got it all in control. Amen? Amen. He does have it in control. So a simple study today. We'll begin here in Luke chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 14 in just a moment here as we finished last week looking at three temptations that Jesus went through in the wilderness there. And again, Jesus' ministry as he goes forward today. So we'll look at Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. He's going to go to Galilee. We'll see that. Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. Then Jesus cast out an evil spirit. He'll deal with that, and you can see all that he does. He comes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then we will see that Jesus preaches again in Galilee. So that's what we'll see there today. Let's begin, please, in verse 14 and 15 of Luke chapter 4, as we see it there. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Note that, underline that if you'd like in your Bible. In the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He, in other scriptures, we'll see that he'll go to Capernaum. And Capernaum is right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's up on the, what would be the northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee. Today you can go there and you can see a synagogue that they believe was right there. Actually, you can see there's a monument to this there, which is to me unpleasant. But they believe that they know, you can see the city way back in the time of Jesus walking there. And some believe that this is Peter's house. Who knows? Everything was destroyed and all that. So they built this big flying saucer over what was maybe Peter's house. And more than likely, it's not Peter's house. And who cares? I want to know about Jesus. You know. But anyway, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him, notice, news of him went out through, what's that next word? All. What does all mean? All. Now, Josephus, a great historian, tells us that there were over 200 towns and villages in this area of Galilee at that point. That's a lot of people. So when the Holy Spirit inserts the word all, it's inserted for a reason. And it's letting us know that his presence there was drawing people. God was drawing people unto his ministry, and who he was broadly proclaimed. And so, in other words, people are going to be without excuse. They're going to be without excuse because he's right there speaking to those people. The miracles alone that he did, not the words that he said, the words that he will say will be powerful, but just the miracles alone tell everybody that has eyes to see, ears to hear, that this is the Messiah. Search the scriptures and you'll see they speak of me, Jesus said. And so he taught there in verse 15 in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, I want to make this statement to begin with. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at the time of his baptism in water. We've seen that. Next, we saw the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and the Holy Spirit sustained him there. So the Holy Spirit was there at Jesus' baptism, and then he led him, as we saw last week, to be tested there by Lucifer, and the Holy Spirit sustained him. Now we see that Jesus returns in the power of the same Spirit, equipped and ready for ministry. Here's the thing. If this is good enough for Jesus, I've said many times, we should pay attention. This working of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus is an example for you and I. And I've mentioned many times that we should know who our Father is, and we have a relationship with Him. We talk with Him, and we understand what He's done in Scripture and who He is, Creator. We understand that. We know Jesus. We must believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that He is God Himself who came. It's very important that we would do that. And so we know the Father, we know the Son, but we need to know the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to just spend a little bit of time again reviewing some of this because I think it's important for us. Go to John chapter 14, please. Just one verse there. Just a little bit about the Holy Spirit again, some different scriptures that we may not have looked at as we've been studying Luke here. Verse 26 of John chapter 14. Let's put it in context. Let's go back to verse 25. "These things I have spoken," Jesus said, "to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you," what's the next word? "All things." Now, there is a person that will teach you all things. He does gift, according to Ephesians, we see that He does gift men and women to be teachers of the Word of God. He does do that, and that's a good thing. But it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. I go back in my mind right now, and I've shared it before. We were in the South China Sea, just off of Vietnam, and we had come back from a mission flying up and down the coast of Vietnam there. And we landed, and I just couldn't get to sleep. We came in about midnight, and I just couldn't get to sleep. So I got up, went down into the library, because I thought, well, maybe I could find a book. I could find a book. So I sat down, and I looked up to my left, and there was a whole area of Bibles. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just look at a Bible, you know, maybe it'll help me go to sleep, you know, whatever it may be. So I just looked at the Bible, brought it down there, and it, as I opened it, it meant nothing to me. Nothing to me. Because there wasn't the Holy Spirit inside of me. Now, I knew what the Bible was and all that, but it wasn't until I was born from above, then I opened the Scripture with the Holy Spirit inside of me, I understood. I began to understand. Why? Because look at that in John 14 again. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? The Holy Spirit is in our life. He will protect us. I'm reading this great book called Fearless, and it was given to me. Where's Melanie? Over there. And Chris, this book. It's just blown me away. It's about a guy named Adam Brown. And Adam Brown was he grew up in Arkansas, of all places. Can anything good come out of Arkansas? Anybody here Arkansas? I'm just picking on you, if you are. But anyway, and just tells the story, and he got involved in drugs and everything else and got thrown into jail and bad situation. And then he accepted Jesus Christ. His life radically changed. He joined the Navy, wanted to become a SEAL, became a SEAL. That's not not one of those things, but a military guy, okay, in case you didn't know, okay. He became a U.S. Navy SEAL and everything. Amazing, amazing. That would happen. And I just love this book as it opens up this man's life, but it opens up all that he has went through as a SEAL. And then he would always go to the top of his class, always going to the top of his class. And one time they were enacting, like this warfare type situation. They were doing training and all, and like a paintball went up in his glasses, blinded him. So here he is. What do you do with a Navy SEAL? And he's a sniper. A sniper. What do you do at that point? You take a medical discharge. He wouldn't take it. He would not take it. And I'm ruining the book if anybody's going to read it. I just know it. So anyway, he says, okay, give me a chance. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in that guy, I believe, he was able to see his, the eye got injured was his strong eye, and he shot right-handed. And he said, give me a chance. So then he went with his weak eye and retrained it to shoot left-handed, and he qualified just as well as he did before. And this whole story is about this young man, and in the midst of it is the working of God, the working of the Holy Spirit. We can do anything in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see that. Go with me, please, now to John chapter 16. Anything that God wants. Beginning in verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, there it is again, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, notice what he will do. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. I was convicted of sin, and I was convicted of the truth of God and his righteousness through Jesus Christ, and of judgment. Then verse 9 again says, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the world, the ruler of this world is judged. And so we see again the working of the Holy Spirit and the life of people there. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, way back before Revelation. So many other scriptures, and we've touched base on them as we've been studying the Gospel of Luke, but I just wanted to bring these out here. 1 John chapter 2, please. Where John brings us back to this reality, this truth in verse 27. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. Praise the Lord. The power of God is inside of our lives. Amen? Today, we're different people because the Holy Spirit has stepped into our lives. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, please. For another picture of this scene that we see here, just briefly, Matthew chapter 4. What we see here in Luke chapter 14 and 15 is amplified a little bit more. I thought I'd look at this so we could see it just briefly without very much commentary to it. But beginning in verse 12 of chapter 4. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. So we see him again in Capernaum, which is by the Sea of Galilee, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that he might be, look, here it is, verse 14, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, and we'll go back there in just a moment, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Notice how they pinpoint, God pinpoints where the Messiah is going to come to. He's going to come there. And again, if they were open enough to realize who it was, just open enough, because the things that he will do is only what the Messiah could do. And so again, it goes on in verse 16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That's a spiritual darkness. There was a spiritual darkness, the Gentiles, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, all kinds of Gentiles have moved into that area. But it says, darkness has seen a great light. In other words, good news. They've seen there's the Messiah in front of them. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. The Messiah has come to this area. And then notice verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Circle that, put four stars next to it, whatever you like to do in your Bible when it's a verse you need to keep close to. That's our message, ladies and gentlemen, in love, but that's our message. Repent, do about face, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is with us, and His purposes shall be fulfilled in the midst of our lives. Go back to Luke chapter 4, please. So now we see here that Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. And let's read through the story, and then we'll go to Isaiah to amplify it a little bit more. Notice in verse 16, so he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So he had a habit. He was a good Jewish boy. He went to the synagogue. You know, every time the synagogue was there, opened up, he was supposed to be there. No doubt he was there. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now I look at that and I think, God, you are amazing. How many times had he been to the synagogue where it wasn't handed to him before? And this was a scripture that was planned to be there. He didn't do this. It was handed to him. Notice what it says. He was handed the book of Isaiah, he who had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And then he opened it up. I apologize for that. And notice in verse 18 and 19, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, he goes there, and we're going to go back. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is a messianic scripture. Jesus is going back, and we'll go back to Isaiah there. This is a messianic scripture that they would know that speaks of the Messiah. So get the picture. They hand it to him. He opens it up. Then he reads from this. Notice verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if we were those people in that synagogue at this point? Now, that synagogue that's there in Nazareth is a wonderful synagogue. It's beautiful. And when we go on our trip to Israel there, we just pause there and we just worship the Lord. It's an amazing thing. So these places were very special to the Jewish mind that you see there. And no doubt they were created. The synagogues were probably created because when the temple was destroyed, and they came back out of Babylon, they came back in, needed to have a place of worship before the temple would be reestablished there. But anyway, so notice it says, then he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, and then verse 21, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Couldn't be any more to the point. Whether they wanted to believe it or not, it's being presented to them that this is the Messiah. He's claiming to be the Messiah. Because watch what happens after this. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? So now they come in and begin to doubt. Okay, is this not Joseph's son? A good question. We know this guy. We know his brothers, we know his sisters, we know his mom and his dad. Is that not who this is? And then he said to them, he recognized in what was in their heart there in verse 23, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. If you're God, come down off that. If you're truly God, come down off that cross. They will always be testing him. If you truly are, then do this. If you are God, if this is who you are, do this. They are always looking for a sign. So they're going to say to him, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, and when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. That's north of Israel. That's Gentile territory for sure, to a woman who is now a widow. You guys, you wouldn't listen. I presented myself, and God presented the truth and all of that, but you wouldn't listen. And then he gives another example of the hard-heartedness that they had in verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Remember the general that was healed? And the prophet said, go dunk yourself seven times in the Jordan. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to go up to the rivers north where he was from. And then he humbled himself, and then he was healed. Look what verse 28 says. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with joy. They knew it was the Messiah, right? They agreed, this is him. I can't believe this is him. This is him. What did they do? Filled with wrath. Filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Now we're going to come back to that as we close up the message here. Now go with me, please, right here to Isaiah 61, please. Back to Isaiah 61. We'll see where Jesus pulled this from, Isaiah 61. In the midst of this messianic situation that we see in Psalm 61. But I wanted to point out one thing as we go through here. Well, a number of things. But I just want to, before I get to the verse 10, I want to go back and fill in the story here. Notice in verse 1, chapter 61 of Isaiah, the good news of salvation is the title my Bible has in this, and it's true, truly true. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Jesus is going back to. Because the Lord has anointed me, number one, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me, number two, to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, when we get to this, now we have a stop. Jesus didn't quote this part because he came to fulfill the first part of this scripture. The second part will be fulfilled later on. Isaiah chapter 61 has a dual fulfillment in scripture. One that has been dealt with, one that will be dealt with when Jesus returns. So when Jesus returns, he's going to come to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So there's coming a time that we're going to see things in this chapter fulfilled yet in our lives. And then verse 4, and it says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Talking about the fruit that's going to be in the midst of Israel and the sons of the foreigner, the truth that will be in the midst of the world at that point shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Bring it on, Lord. That'll be a wonderful time. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Let it be so, Lord. These descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see shall acknowledge him, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. And then look at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of what? Salvation. Isn't that a beautiful word? Salvation. And then he says, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. You guys ready for that? Now, there's a lot to go into, and I know there's a lot to study in that section, but I thought we would look at that because I want to emphasize verse 10 and the end there in verse 11. So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And then up in verse 10 again, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has clothed me with the robe of righteousness. Turn with me, please. Go to Romans chapter 3. How many have given your life to Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you guys in the Word? You raising up your children in the admonition of the Lord? Okay. Because I believe potentially that we may, as I've said on Wednesday night, there may be challenges coming our way. And we as Christians are going to need to step up. Now, I pray, I like things that are good. I like comfort. I like the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord will be with us. But I do want to say that we as Christians, as John David was leading us in worship about revival, we need to be revived. I need to be revived. We need to be ready because I believe that there's going to be many, many souls that will turn to Jesus Christ. I really believe that. I truly believe that. And we are his mouthpiece. We are the people that can go and tell people about the Lord. We pray for a revival. We cry out for a revival. Are we ready for a revival? Are we a church ready for a revival? Are we people ready for a revival? Because we have been given everything. You and I, if we know Jesus, that's why I asked you. If you know Jesus, you have been given everything. Everything. Someday we will be out of this crazy world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be with the Lord. But who's going to go with us that we have opportunities to speak to? Notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, Paul comes to this point after in verse 10, he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Pretty picture, isn't it? Not a pretty picture. Then in verse 19 and 20, he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, and that every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, be declared righteous by the work of the law, man's work. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then he comes and says, but now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who do what? What's it say? Believe. All we have to do is believe. Trust in, rely upon, adhere to the truths we find in Scripture. Is that not exciting? So scriptures like Isaiah 61, as it points to salvation. I was thinking about this when I was studying that, and I thought, what a beautiful area of scripture here. Just to those that simply believe, even the righteousness of God. For all, as we see there, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being, here it is, look at verse 24. Now I need to hear some amens and praise the Lord after I read verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Is that not wonderful? It's only part wonderful. Is that not wonderful?
Yes.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
It is so wonderful. Old Testament pointed to that which we experience. Jesus came to tell everybody about it. His ministry was all about that. This is who I am. And as I reveal to you who I am, this is all that you have to do. All you have to do is simply believe. We've believed. And that's the message we have for this world. This world is in need of you and I going and telling people. We don't have to, but the world needs us too. And God wants to empower us by His Holy Spirit, as Jesus did. He wants us to follow His example in that way. It gets better. Look in verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. That's simply the place of atonement, the place of the mercy seat. Jesus was set forth as that propitiation by His blood through faith. There it is, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to just demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just. And here it comes, the justifier of the one who has what? Faith in Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus today? Then you have been declared righteous in the eyes of God. Is that a small thing? Not at all. That's who you and I are today. We've been declared righteous in the eyes of God our Father because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's what the Old Testament pointed to that cross. And because of that, now the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And now, as I read this, it makes sense. How many say it makes sense? It makes sense. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. Go with me back to Luke chapter 4, please, as we close out the message today. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 30. And then we're going to close out by just going through these next verses very simply. Verse 30, then passing through the midst of them, this situation that we see prior to this, beginning in verse 16 through 29. Then passing through the midst of them, He went His way. And He went His path. He went to fulfill His purposes. Nothing stopped Him. They wanted to kill Him. He said, no, it's not my time. I'm going forward. I'm going to tell people about Me. And then He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at His teaching, for His word was with authority. Wouldn't you love to be by the Sea of Galilee? You go to the Sea of Galilee, and you can go there, and you can sit on the hill. And the hill goes right down to the Sea of Galilee. And you can sit right there, huh, Pam? You can sit even halfway. And you can hear, there's a little farmhouse way over to the right there when you're sitting there. And it's pretty good distance off. But you hear the person that lives there, you can hear him come out, open the door, and the door slam. There's no way you should be able to hear that. But it's because of this valley, this amphitheater that is there. And you can hear other things over there. But you can go down, people can go down on the seashore, and they can just speak up, and you can hear. It's an amazing place to be. That's where Jesus was, teaching these people. Wouldn't you love to have been there? I mean, to see that? And they were astonished at His teaching, for His word was with authority. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with You, Jesus of Nazareth? Did You come to destroy us? I know who You are. You are the Holy One of God. The demons knew, but people didn't. Notice what He says. Jesus rebuked him, said, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, He commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about Him went out into every place in the surrounding region with authority and power. May I encourage us? I'm going back to that book that I'm reading again, Fearless. I was just ministered to by that. And I'm thinking, what made the difference in a guy like that? What made a difference in his life? He just went with authority. He believed in what he was doing. Imagine the power that's inside of you and I as we go with the authority of God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, what can happen in our lives. They were all amazed and spoke among themselves. There, the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Then, verses 38 through 39, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. And Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served him. There's so much in this verse, too. We see that the Lord rebuked the enemy. The enemy brought this fever on to Peter's mother-in-law. And so spiritual battle's going on. Then in verse 40, he heals there. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases, notice that word again, all those who had any, any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. You know, we've got to go in God's power, whatever situation he brings into our lives. And then finally, he preaches in Galilee, verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. And he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And that's what we're going to see as we continue to go. This wonderful movement of Jesus, healing and revealing who he is. Honey, do you recognize verse 43? Okay. When we were in San Diego, God was speaking to us about coming to the horizontal, beautiful place called Indiana. Okay. So he was speaking to us. And I was in my devotions. And in my devotions there, I was right here in Luke chapter 4. This is why it's important. You know, we didn't base our decision to come here only on this verse. But as we sought the Lord and we stayed close to him, then he can use things and make application. There's an interpretation what is meant here. Jesus preached in the kingdom of God to other cities, and for this purpose I have been sent, is what he did. That's the interpretation of that. But God used it in an application to my heart. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, Lord, do you want us to go to Miami, or do you want us to go to Scotland, or do you want us to go to Indianapolis? And so I was pretty sure that he didn't want us to go to Miami. So I'm sitting there, and then this verse, and it goes, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities," not countries. Now for me, that was a very important thing, and so other cities. So I have this revelation in my heart at this moment. I'm sitting there, and I have that revelation, and I go, "Lord, it is Indianapolis, is it not? It is Indianapolis." And Vi comes through the bedroom door, and there was a person had come the night before to visit us that turned out to be from Indianapolis. And she said to me, where do you think she's from? We didn't know. She just came to stay with us, and Vi had led her to the Lord that night, on Friday night. And I'm sitting there Saturday morning, and she walks in and she says, "Where do you think Wendy is from? And I go, "She's from Indianapolis, isn't she?" And that's how God speaks to us when we're in his word. You know, there was a lot more that went into it. We didn't base our entire life on one scripture or one situation, but it was how he speaks to each and every one. Is God not good? Let's close with Philippians chapter 2. If you guys wouldn't mind, come up. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus is setting an example. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Like I said, we'll close with this. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who," Jesus, "being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, Jesus didn't hold on to being in heaven, but made himself of no reputation. That's what he did, and that's what we should do. "Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, he became one of us. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, and we need to die to self in so many ways at times. Therefore, verse 9, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, what does every mean? Every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. It's going to come. It's going to come someday. This will be true. This will be fulfilled someday. Every tongue will confess. Every knee shall bow. And notice that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So just some scriptures there to remind us of who Jesus is. God is good. Amen? Truly is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would bless it to us. Very simple today, going through the gospel message, watching you move your heart, Lord Jesus, for the people. Not only did you come to this earth, but you constantly reached out by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we do likewise, Lord. May we follow you, and may we have such a heart that would reach out in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. So bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.